morning. Hello. Glad to be here. I practiced that hello. Nice deep one, you know, to try to sound nice. So I just want to make sure this is working. And I had to move the mic up because I had it on my belly here during praise because I didn't want it to record my singing. Anyways, I'm really glad to be here. Roy, Pastor Roy, is a mentor of mine. So I just want to just give a shout out to him and just say that you all are very blessed to have such a great pastor. He's helped me a lot and gotten to know each other really well over the past year and a half. So let's open up in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us through your word. God, I pray that everyone here hears the word from you, and that whatever is from me, that's just from my own thoughts and not from you, that the Holy Spirit can make that clear to the hearers today, Lord, to your people. We just pray for your revelation, miracle of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So my task today is to talk about Christian parenting and all of this great psychological research regarding parenting in 30 minutes. Yeah, so I'm joking. Obviously, I can't do that. And So I'm really going to focus on just the core aspects of Christian parenting. Okay, and anything psychological I talk about has, just so you know, has been submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Okay, so not everything in the world is helpful, but some things are helpful as long as they're submitted to the Lordship of Christ. So just looking at the Bible and Ephesians, there's just really a lot to talk about. And you can really see that by going into a Christian bookstore or any bookstore. Has anyone done that lately? I used to go into, when my son was first born, even before, even though I'm a psychologist, I would go in, look at the Christian books on parenting, and I'd be like, why are there so many, right? Anyone feel me? No? No? There's so many out there, and they're all kind of different. Have you noticed that? And that's why the core of focusing on parenting is really important, and that's kind of that's what I plan to do today. So what we want to focus on, what I want to focus on, is really talking about God's kingdom, and I'm talking about it in the term called God's reign, okay? So that should be up there, all right. So just so you kind of understand, God's reign, some synonyms are Christ's reign, okay? The kingdom of God, the lordship of Christ, or the new creation. Okay? They're all a little different, right? But the cool thing about God's reign is that it captures an active voice, right? It's happening now, okay? Kind of like it's raining, right? Just like it's kind of raining today. It's happening right now. And that's why I'm wanting to use that. And so let's stick with this rain analogy, okay? This is water rain first. This will help us to understand God's reign. So it's raining, and this is going to be really easy because we're all rain experts, aren't we? Right? Okay. So think about how you feel about rain. Well, it's kind of mixed, isn't it? Some people really like rain. Some people dislike rain. I don't really like rain that much. I came in 2008 and grew up in Southern California, so it's a little hard, okay, got to admit. But I also remember really enjoying rain when I was growing up. I would go out and start getting soaked and just really stay out there for hours or maybe even all day long. Anyone? Or is that, maybe that's just me, okay? So, but in any effect, I'm going to move my large Bible down here. Okay. In any effect, so we have these different responses to rain, right? And now I want you to think about rain. Okay, the rain coming down is water, but think about it as if it's the Holy Spirit coming down all over the world, okay? And it's not cloudy, but it's bright and sunny because obviously God is light, but also because it's kind of happens that way in Seattle, right? It's sunny and it rains, and that's like the weirdest thing for me. I was like, whoa, that's a really weird thing. But so it does happen. So imagine that, okay? So God's rain is actually raining, just like water, except it's the Holy Spirit coming down all over the world, okay? And even though it's the Holy Spirit, you might say, yeah, I'm there, I'm going to go get soaked. And that's a good thing, that's what we want you to do, right? That's what God would want us to do if the rain is the Holy Spirit coming down. However, it's still somewhat uncomfortable, even if it is the Holy Spirit's power, because the way we are as humans, the Holy Spirit comes to transform us, right? To change us, to change our lives. And so that's a little uncomfortable, if we're honest, right? I know. For me, it's hard. It's hard to change. Humans are not willing to change sometimes. And so it is with parenting. Are you willing to parent in the rain? In God's rain? Well, before you can answer this, obviously you need to know what that means, so let's get to that task. So looking at the text, chapter of Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, just to tell you a little bit about the context here. So Ephesians chapter 6 is continuing this discussion of mutual submission in chapter 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we know right after that text, it was talking about marriage, right? And then after that, now it's talking about children and parenting. So this text is telling us what mutual submission looks like between parents and children, right? And that actually might be a little bit weird because you're thinking, well, do parents have to submit to their kids? If so, how do they do that? You know, it's really a different concept, right? But that's really what this is talking about here. So for children, let's start with kids first. That's easy. Obviously, the kids are, we're supposed to obey and honor our parents, and that's all a long biblical teaching, right? So these verses in 1 to 3, the latter part of 4 are from the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Proverbs. And the other thing about this context of this text is that you'll see that Paul is talking to children. So that's pretty cool, right? It says children. It doesn't say parents, tell your children this. It says children. So it's assuming that the children are here also listening to the letter. And so it's great then that we have a lot of different people here, not just parents, okay? And I promise I'll make this relevant to you, all right, also. So God's word is just good for all of us, no matter what it really says at the surface level, okay? So let's open our Bibles and read Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Listen to God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of God for us today. So this is a great text for understanding what parenting means in God's reign. Okay? So parenting in God's reign means parenting for fullness. Parenting in God's reign means parenting for fullness, being full. So let's focus on verse 4 here. It says, do not exacerbate your children. Okay? Bring them up. Training and instruction. And so then what we're seeing here is this tension, because back in the day when this was written, okay, and all the way back through the Old Testament, fathers were the absolute authorities in the household, right? Okay. So they brought it down. Okay. Maybe like many of us in Asian families, it's kind of similar. It's a little generalization, but right, bring it down, the father. Yeah, this is the way it is. You cannot say anything, right? So it's in this context, but you see, Paul is saying, don't exacerbate your children. And so he's telling them to think about their feelings, their perspective. And this is the crazy thing about the gospel. Right here, Paul is revolutionizing the culture. You see? In this culture where the father is the extreme, supreme authority, Paul is saying, hey, that is good. However, it can be hurtful if it's too much. And so this is the balance that's needed. Parenting in God's reign requires balance, fullness, okay? And that's what I want to just talk about a little bit more here. Balance between support and structure. Between structure and support. Structure would be discipline, right? Authority. And support would be warmth and caring. And caring for our children's perspective, just like Paul is saying here. So, other translations of exasperating your children say, do not provoke your children to anger. Now, provoke is an interesting word because it has to do with hurting animals and things. And think of it as goading, right? And I don't know if you know what goading means, but think of it like prodding. You have a stick, and you're going like this. Hey, keep going, you know, right? Like you, maybe they're not really talking, but because they're animals, but you're going, hey, get in track, right? Like it's a like a nudge, okay, a little poke, boom, boom, right? So you can see how it can get really hard or really soft, or, okay? So that's kind of the image that we're getting. And so then you got to ask, well, why would any parent provoke, prod, or goad or annoy their children to the extent to which they have perpetual resentment towards them. Crazy? Yeah. But I know some of you are thinking that maybe that happened to you, okay? Maybe, you know? And what I'd like to say is that maybe it wasn't intentional. Most parents wouldn't want that to happen intentionally, like they wrote it down in their journal. This is a goal of mine. But it could happen unintentionally, right? Under the consciousness, or just because of who they are. And so I think it's really related to having unreasonable expectations and demands. Okay? So we can provoke our children to anger, right? When we have unreasonable demands and expectations. So I'm just gonna say it, Asian people here, we gotta get all A's, don't we? Right? I don't know, is that still true? It was true, right? You gotta get all A's. The A minus is not good, right? The B plus is like, okay, right? Now, I know that not all of you are experiencing that now. However, there is this, that's what we're known for, okay? We're known for that in America, and there's good things about it as well. Let me give you an example here. My stories, okay, since I'm a psychologist, I've lived a long life, I have my own kids, and I know have a lot of friends, they can come from any one of them, all right? So you don't really know, okay, who it is, all right? So it could be for anyone. And there's a couple, right? And they really want their child to learn to ride the bicycle, okay? And so the child is, when do you learn to ride a bike? It kind of depends, right? But these are parents with high expectations, right? They want their child to learn bike riding very quickly. So let's say at age 4, right, they're putting them on. And instead of buying them, the kid's about this tall here, okay? So the bike should be like this tall, okay? But they're getting a bike a little bit bigger. You know why? To save, yeah, see, you're with me, okay, all Asian people united, okay. To save some money, that's very prudent, right? The Bible tells us to not waste money, right? Okay, so it's prudent, it's like, we know what, even though he can't touch the floor, it's okay, because let's just go for it. He can do it, right? Because it's going to help him out later. So the kid actually learns because the child is skilled, right? Does have some confidence and trusts his parents so much, you know? Gets on the bike, he's riding, then gets a little bit better, and so then the father releases, and the kid's going down the hill, and catches a little bit too much speed, not a big hill, a slow, small slant, and the child freaks out, wishes he could put his foot on the ground, but he can't, right? So then what does he do? He dumps, he bails, he rolls, he hurts himself pretty bad. Not really bad, like a broken arm, but scratched up. But think about it. He's 4. You know? And that's traumatic. Okay, I got to say, that is traumatic. It's scary. And so there's no wonder then that this child is not willing to ride a bike later. And it takes them a lot longer, right? So that's how unreasonable expectations could be hurtful. And so why do parents do this? Well, we don't know for sure. There's a lot of speculation. But maybe it's because parents are so concerned with achievement and success so much that they're so obsessed with it. And maybe it's because they want their children to succeed so much that they're overcompensating for their own personal lacking somehow, right? I don't know. That could be a couple of reasons, but. So, another example, in terms of overcorrection and harsh discipline, right? We can hurt our kids in this way. Our parenting becomes unbalanced, or we don't have fullness in parenting when we're being too harsh. And this is related to having unreasonable expectations, of course. But it's a little bit different because it adds in some punishment, right? Excessive punishment. So, Just really quickly, some of us may be the type that will discipline our kids too often so that they can't do anything right, okay? So it's not like excessive in terms of degree, like it's not like setting them on a fire or anything like that, but it's just a little too much, and it is somewhat hurtful because over and over, it's like, I'll use myself, Sam, go clean up that mess. Okay, Sam does it. No, not like that, do it this way.
Saint John's like, this way. No, no, not like this. Do it this way. What's wrong with you? Why can't you do it the right way? Oh, what's wrong with you? Go away. Right? I'll do it myself. You go do something else. That, repeatedly over time, years, think about it, years, right? The kid's feeling, right? And the parent has not even taught Sam how to clean up appropriately, right? A lot of times we assume that our kids know what to do, but I'll tell you this, most of the time our kids do not know exactly what our expectations are, okay? You need to kind of show them what is a clean room look like, okay? And we've got to do it together first as well. You've got to model it, right? Others may just be too harsh, okay? And let me give you a couple examples. Is it too harsh when you drag your kid off the soccer field because right in the middle of the game, because they're not playing well, they're not meeting your expectations as a parent? Or is it too harsh to physically threaten your child if they miss a math problem in their homework or on a test? You think I'm joking, don't you? Well, I really hope I was, okay? This is real stuff. This happens quite a bit, actually, right? Is that too harsh? Well, surely then you can see that these expectations can be hurtful, right? And obviously, having expectations and high expectations those are fine. Those are good for kids, okay? However, they can be so unreasonable, too challenging, right? They need to match the child's skills. They need to match the child's personalities, right? And obviously, discipline and correction is needed, okay? Kids need that. I'm not saying not to do that. However, it can be too much, too harsh, right? Where we think that what we're doing is the best for our children, but in reality, what we're doing is what's best for us, is what makes us feel better, you know, because we have so much pride caught up in our kids, right? And another factor that's related to this is having effective discipline strategies, right? How about the empty threat? Have you guys heard of that? This happens a lot, and this is related to anger, this is related to unreasonable expectations and harsh punishment. It's like, Sam, come here and go to your room or clean up your room. Sam just sits there. Sam, come on, you better do it. Sam just ignores, okay? All right, Sam, I'm gonna count to 10. You're in big trouble, buddy. You better do it right now. I'm gonna count to 10. Sam sits there. 1, 2, 3, Sam, better hurry up, I'm at 3. I'm gonna be at 5 soon. 4, 5, oh, Sam, I'm at half. You better hurry up and go. 6, 7, 8, right? And the whole time, and then when you get to, and they don't even get to 10. Or they get to 10, then they get mad, right? And so that whole time, though, that took like 15 minutes, okay? Obviously, that's not effective. It makes us angry, right? Because we think they're going to listen. And so there's obviously more effective strategies to use. And that's where I think psychology can come into play to help us out a little bit, right? Obviously, need to be vetted through Christ, of course. So these examples are obviously examples of being too extreme, too harsh, right? Having unrealistic expectations, which messes up our parenting for fullness in Christ, okay? And because what happens is, as I've kind of shown you, just to state it now, is that when we do these things, children can become discouraged, like it says in Colossians 3:21, right? And it can turn into anger, and which can lead to sinful acts, like it says in Ephesians 4:26. And most importantly, this is really important, because the negative consequence of this is that we're not really training our kids for the kingdom, right? We're not raising our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And it's actually counterproductive. Okay? There's a lot of stories of where children lose their faith, right? When they leave for college or when they get high school because they're not experiencing God's grace in the family. So parenting for fullness means that we have the soul of our children in mind to live full lives for Christ. That's the second part of this, okay? It's the second part. And we need to bring them up, just like in the second part of verse 4. Bring them up means it's referring to physical nourishment, but also education in its entirety. Okay, so that's what the verb bring up is referring to, all of education. And so then you can see how we do need to train them in righteousness and correction by word of mouth. Okay, but what we got to make sure is that all we do is to raise our children, right, for the full living in Christ, for God, for Christ's kingdom or God's reign. So in other words, parents must, we got to disciple their children, okay, in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parental discipleship, right? So disciple, think of it, you know, Jesus had disciples. He lived with them, he modeled, he taught them, he corrected them. And he was firm, you know, when he needed to be, and loving and heart and all that. But, you know, so that's the type of discipleship we need for kids, and that's really what parenting can be about. As an example, when this is done well, you really want your kids to decide for themselves, right? To kind of be motivated for God and Christ by themselves. And obviously the Holy Spirit needs to work and they need to be saved. But also, if you're not letting them make these decisions in their lives, right? When they're ready, then they might not be fully thinking of it. So an example is a parent, a family has a child, and child's a pre-adolescent, early adolescent, and had a choice of going to VBS or going to this water park, right? For a kid's birthday, where he missed 2 weeks, 2 days of the VBS, right? And already signed up for VBS, but the parents felt, well, you know what? Let's give him the choice this time, okay? Let's see what he says. And when they give it back, the kid said, I'd rather go to VBS. Isn't that cool, right? I mean, of course, his parents wanted to say, no way, you're going to VBS no matter what. And, you know, and that's good when they need that, right? But then at some point, when are they going to grow up to make these decisions for Christ themselves, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that you want some more specifics about parenting, right? And so what we've talked about right now is this general kind of model of looking at parenting from the text, okay? So let's look more specifically, and these specific things, obviously I can't go through everything, but the specific things that I do want to go over are found in the paragraphs preceding this text. So let's look at these now. So then within Ephesians 5, 3 to 20, okay, this is a whole section. This refers to what I call parenting God's reign means parenting in encouragement. Parenting in encouragement. And overall, this section in Ephesians is awesome. It's talking about living in the light that shines from Christ and living in the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's great. Okay. The focus verse would be verse 18b to 19. And it's talking about singing the psalms and praises to one another, right? And even though you're not a parent, this applies to you because it's not talking about parenting right now, right? It's talking about all people. But applied to parenting then, what I really think this is about, of course you could and sing praises to each other, right? And quote scripture and all that. That's great. You should do that. But I think it also means being encouraging, right? How many saying positive things to your children and blessing each other back, right? And, you know, not meaningless things, but meaningful positive things, because we all need encouragement, don't we? You know, the most common phrase in the Bible is do not be afraid or fear not. Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, right? God placed that in there for all of us. We all need encouragement. And so how much more, if God thinks that adults need encouragement, right, his children, then how much more do our children, who are actually 5 or younger, or you know, developing, need encouragement? So this is hard, right, for a lot of us who work. I knew it was a story of a father who woke up at 5 a.m. every morning, had to go to work, worked a lot,
very little time to spend time with his daughter and his family. Okay? So what he did was he committed to making the daughter's lunch every day, and in the lunches, he would write a quick little note. Nothing fancy, just something like, hope you have a great day, love dad, or, you know, I'm thinking of you, I hope you enjoyed my sandwich, okay, things like that. Nothing special. Did this throughout, from elementary school through high school. And daughter's graduating from high school. And, you know, the father wasn't good at, didn't spend a lot of time, and also wasn't good at saying that he loves her. You know, saying nice, you know, like he's not good at that. And so he realized she's going to college, and so he said, hey, you know, I know I haven't been the best dad and haven't told you all these, you know, nice things I really wanted to tell you, but I do care for you. He said care for you. He didn't say love, right? And the daughter said, you know what, Dad? That's fine, and I really appreciate your lunch. Not because of the food. The food wasn't really that great, okay? But the notes, those little notes made my day, and I always knew you loved me, no matter what. And I've actually made those into portfolio, and I'm taking those to college with me, right? Because it's a reminder of how you're always there for me, right? Now, that's beautiful, right? Now, that doesn't mean, though, that you can... what I'm saying is don't spend time with your kids and just write them notes. Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay, I know some of you are thinking, okay, no. But what I am saying is the power of encouragement, right? The power of that. Okay? Parenting God's reign means parenting and encouragement. Make the time. Find creative ways to do it. Now, the third one is parenting God's reign means parenting in forgiveness. And that's in Ephesians 4, 17 to 5 to 2. This section is talking about truth patterned by Christ and walking in love. And the core aspect here is in verse 4, 31 to 32. And what I want to really pull out, it all leads towards for parenting is forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness is huge in a family. It's a way that we can overcome harm and sin. And I would say that most of us teach our kids that they need to be forgiven by us, right? So they need to say sorry to us, and we say, yes, you are forgiven, right? But I said most of us would do that, okay? But I would venture to say that maybe only some of us may teach our kids to forgive each other. So like if they have brothers or sisters, okay? And I would say even fewer of us teach our kids that we need to be forgiven by them, right? Yeah. Because we don't make mistakes, right? Because we are perfect. And, you know, I think that happens. I've seen parents who clearly know that they did wrong. And I might even suggest, you know, hey, did you ever say, apologize? And they can't do it. It's so hard for them. And it's so hard because their parents didn't do that for them, didn't model it. However, we have this modeling from Christ, right? It says that in the text. And so how do we do this then? Because this is really important. Just really quickly, you know, I would start off with prayer and discussing the problem. Discuss the sin or the injustice that happened, okay? And get both people involved there, their siblings, okay? And then make sure that both sides of the problem are heard, right? And let everyone's feelings be heard, right? So the offender is saying, oh, I did this and I felt this way. The person who was offended is saying the same thing, okay? I felt this way, all right? And you can have a mutual confession of responsibility in the harm. So most of the time, everyone's involved, right? Okay? It's even if it's pretty clear that's one person's main issue, right? A lot of times, we also make it worse, okay? The other person makes it worse, right? So, but sometimes, obviously, it is just one person's responsibility. But still, we want to have mutual confession, right? Talk about it together and apologize for the hurt feelings. And it's important. Apologize for the hurt feelings, but you got to still make it right. The justice component needs to be there, okay? So, if your child has wronged somebody or you, then, yeah, have them apologize for hurting your feelings. But they need to then make reparations, do something, okay, to make it right. And so do you, right? You need to also do that. And then afterwards, you have forgiveness, kind of a forgiveness celebration maybe, or prayer, right, and loving on each other, right? Now, I'll tell you, this doesn't happen in like 5-10 minutes. It could, especially if your kid's really young, right? You just tell them what to say. Okay, say that. Right. But as they get older, and as things get more complex, you know, this could take an hour. This could take hours. This could take days, right? But don't give up. Keep going until that's continued and finished through. Because, you know, that's I think that's the Christian model. We can see that, right, in a lot of areas. And so that's important. So parenting in God's reign means parenting in forgiveness. Now, the last piece is parenting in God's reign means parenting in community. Parenting in God's reign means parenting in community. And this section is talking about the unity in the body of Christ. We're all one. And this is where all of us come into play here, okay? We all come into play. If you focus on verse 11 and 16, you know, it's really talking about that everyone has this role, right? The roles listed there are not exhaustive, meaning those are just examples. There's additional roles. So what role do you play in parenting, even though you're not a parent, okay? What about you if you're a grandparent? What role do you play? And so, you know, a great example is, you know, my son teaches me a lot of things. He knows so much about animals, and I don't know anything about animals, really. Teaching me all this all the time. He also keeps me accountable. Are you driving over the speed limit, Dad? No, be quiet, son. I'm in charge here, okay? Be obedient, be quiet. No. You know, yeah, you know, we know, it kind of happens. And the best way, and that's part of it, of course, but more often it's like it's just the hardship that parents go through, right? We're tired, I get hungry, right? And you work hard, and you gotta come home, and then you gotta clean, you gotta cook, you gotta put them to bed, you gotta do all these things in addition. And you know what? You can't do that by yourself. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the discipleship that our children provide us, right? That God puts children into our lives so that we can be transformed, that so we rely on the Holy Spirit for these spiritual gifts, for the development of our spiritual gifts of patience and endurance and loving, even though we don't feel like it, right? That's the beauty of it. And that's part of this unity here. The other part is the rest of you who don't have kids, okay? And so our church family, our community, we're all part of this. We're all in it together, whether you like it or not, okay? In Christ, we are one. We are the community of Christ, of love. And so this also means that parenting in fullness, encouragement, forgiveness that I've talked about also applies to you, okay? And it does in a real sense. So just let me give you this illustration here. Maybe you can volunteer to watch someone's kid. Maybe not all day, although the parents would love that, right? But sometimes to help out, right? Maybe because you're free or because you've already raised children. I know there was a family who had 5 kids. And yeah, 5 kids. An elderly family who already had raised their kids once a week volunteered to love on them by watching their kids for like an hour, 2 hours, you know, and to give them that break. And again, you know, I'm not saying that you have to go do that, right? Although I think it's a great thing, but then there's other ways to do it as well. If you see a kid walking around at church who is walking off, maybe might run into the street or something, you know, you should stop them, right? If a kid clearly does something blatantly wrong or needs some help, you know, you could kindly be supportive and guide them to their parents, you know, depending on your relationship with their parents, you could You could correct them, potentially, right? Be careful about that, right? You want to get to make sure. But still, your response would be to kind of help, right? Be helpful in this, in a certain way. So then parenting in God's reign means parenting community. And altogether, we've talked about that parenting God's reign means parenting for fullness, parenting in encouragement, parenting in forgiveness, parenting in community. So, what's keeping you from parenting in God's reign? What's keeping you from parenting in God's reign? Now, there's a various reasons why we might be not parenting in God's reign. So let's think of these reasons or obstacles for a moment, and let's think of these as personal umbrellas, okay? We all know what umbrellas are because we're rain experts, right? And so we have the rain of God coming down on a bright day, right? It's bright rain, Holy Spirit coming down just like rain. And an obstacle would be when we bring up an umbrella to block the rain because we want to stay out of the rain. We want to be out of God's reign, okay? We want to be away from the Holy Spirit's influence. So think about this. And when we're doing that, and this is why it's so important for all of us, whether you're parents or not, is because when you're doing that, then it's keeping you from living fully in God's kingdom, in God's reign, fully in Christ. So how many umbrellas do you have? Not real umbrellas, right? The umbrellas that we just talked about. How many obstacles do you have or umbrellas that are keeping you dry, keeping you away from parenting in God's reign? Do you have personal or emotional issues, like an anger problem? Maybe you don't get angry often, but when you do, you blank out and you don't realize what you've done to your child or to your partner. Okay? Well, God wants you to close your umbrella and come out and enjoy the bright rain. Okay? Do you have unreasonably high expectations that become hurtful because you have too much pride? Or because you need to control everything so that you yourself feel better because deep down you are afraid to trust God? Well, God wants you to close your umbrella and come out and enjoy His bright rain of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that giving encouragement is not good for your child? Like just totally against it? Or maybe it's so hard to give encouragement because you're not encouraged by your parents, right? Well, God wants you to close your umbrella and come out in the bright rain. Maybe you're critical of other people's kids or other parents, and you don't want to help out at all. You kind of maybe even enjoy seeing parents having a hard time. And maybe it's also because maybe you're jealous of other people's kids, the success or achievements that they've had, the blessings that God has given them. Well, God wants you to close that umbrella too and come out and enjoy the bright rain of God. And maybe for some of us here don't have kids who just, you know, I still think that this image of God's reign is really important. Maybe you're not fully trusting of Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus fully well yet, okay? You don't really know whether to trust Him. Well, God wants you to close this umbrella as well. So whatever the obstacle is that's keeping you from parenting God's reign, I want to tell you that God wants us to do this for us. For our enjoyment, for our fullness, for the fullness and enjoyment of our children, right? So that they can all experience joy. God is doing a great new thing called the New Creation Project, right? Ephesians is all about new creation, the new humanity. It's God's project to do, and God's moving it on. It's going on, it's happening right now. God's reign, it's reigning everywhere. Whether you believe it or not, it's happening. And the best thing about it is that even though God's going to do it to completion, He wants us to participate. He wants us to partner together by parenting and living in God's reign. So I know it's hard, and I know that we might be afraid, But God has done the hard work for us in Christ Jesus. God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, the Trinity, who was there from the beginning of any creation. God existed in perfect love, community, harmony. Okay? And after he created, he saw all the brokenness and sin, right, that we brought on ourselves, all the damages that happened in families. And he saw that, and God's heart broke. And God decided to come down and submit to us humans. He wanted to come as Jesus of Nazareth and to submit to the cross, submit to death for our sins, so that we might live in Christ, so that we might throw our umbrellas away, close them up, and enjoy God's reign, God's beautiful, bright reign, okay? God's reign, God's kingdom, Christ's lordship is here, starting back then on Easter. It is here now. It's continuing. And so then God is inviting you, and I want you to partner with me as human, a human person, and Pastor Ray, right? Let's do it together as one church, okay? Let's do it together, put our umbrellas away, and go dance in the rain. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are amazing. You are our Lord and Savior. We thank you for coming. We thank you for saving. And Lord, we thank you for raining your Spirit down on the world and for raining your Spirit into our hearts that we might be transformed. We pray for the parents here. We pray for the children that together as a church, under the leadership of Pastor Roy, that we are all made whole, that all able to live full lives in Christ, Lord, for your kingdom, all for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.